Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri. We're still teaching on the subject of the exclusivity of Israel, the true Israel, to God's covenants. Today's lesson is probably one of the keys to dealing with Christians and understanding the message. The title is Born Again or Begotten from Above. And we're going to be studying John 3, where it says, "Me must be born again." Is that really what it is saying? If ever there was a need to put aside preconceived ideas and teachings, there is a great need to do so in the present use of the expression born again. There is a common conception and presentation throughout the Christian world that is an absolutely false and misleading error. The basis of the expression is found in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, or he's talking to Nicodemus, of course, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." In most translations, the words born again have been carried on in a traditional manner, suggesting that a second birth is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Many Bibles in their margins will have from above instead of born again, showing this is what the original word means. When we look into the words actually spoken, we find that it was Nicodemus who made the suggestion about entering a second time into his mother's womb. This was the interpretation that Nicodemus put on Jesus' words. But Jesus did not say anything about a second time ever, if the translations make him appear to say he did, even if it makes him sound like he says that. Jesus did not use the word again. Let me say that again. Jesus did not use the word again. There is no manuscript at all that says Jesus used the word again. The word deuterios that Nicodemus spake appears in the New Testament 44 times, and it always means twice or again. Jesus did not use the word deuteros. Jesus used the word anothen. Strong's says anothen includes from above or from the first or the beginning. Thayer says anothen used of things that come from heaven, from God, or from a higher upper place, or from the very first, or from the origin. Knowing this one word difference helps understand and shows up the problems there are with the popular concept. Jesus confirmed to Nicodemus that he was not speaking of a second birth. When he told Nicodemus that he was referring to being born of water and of spirit, Jesus did not use the future tense as did Nicodemus. Jesus was speaking of something which existed at the time of speaking. The Christian church has picked up on the words of Nicodemus rather than the words of Jesus. Jesus chided Nicodemus for not knowing these things. Likewise, today our teachers need chiding for the same reason, of not knowing these things. Jesus went on to say that not every person is begotten of the Spirit, noting that that which is born of flesh is of the flesh, being begotten that way. Let's look at the word again. The word anothen that Jesus uses appears 14 times in the New Testament, and it does not have a meaning similar to deuteros, meaning a second time, or palin, again. The later being the word most commonly translated as again. The adverb anothen always refers to place and is used of past or former time, but never the future time. In order to discuss the word anothen, let us consider examples of how the word has been translated. Matthew 27:51 and Mark 15:38 has the same verse, "The veil of the temple was rent in twain, anothen, from the top to the bottom." This would be applied as being born from the top. Luke 1:3, having had perfect understanding all things from the very first, Anathen, born from the first, which was Adam. In other words, when he says you must be born from the first, meaning that you must be a descendant of Adam. John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all, Anathen, born from above. John 19:11, except it were given thee from above, born from above. John 19:23, now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout, born from the top. Acts 26:5, which knew me from the beginning, born from the beginning one. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, Anathen, meaning born from that which is above. James, not in the future, but in the past. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above, born from above. None of these indicate, again, a second birth in the future, in any case. Let's look at the word born. Begetting and birth are two vastly different events. Beginning, as used of men, is the action and process of conception. For example, Abraham begat Isaac, Matthew 1:16. Birth, as used of women, is a movement from one environment to another. For example, Mary, of whom Jesus was born, Matthew 1:16. This word, geneo, varies with the context, and it may have an abstract meaning also where it is used of figurative father-child relationships. The word born in John 3:3-5 is geneo, and it is found 98 times in the New Testament. The sense usually has connection with procreation, the most prominent meaning being begat or begotten. We must thus now determine the time when this begetting took place. When did you become begotten? When were you begotten? Are you saying that you are begotten of the Lord after you were begotten in the flesh? Well, that's not what this verse is saying. All modern teachers insist that people already born can be reborn in the future. But when used of a male, begotten is usually about the time of conception. When born is used of a female, it is usually about physical birth. Thayer, in his dictionary, says it is of mankind begetting children. It is often used metaphorically of bringing others over to one's way of life. Vine says chiefly used of men begetting children. If we want to understand its use in John 3:3-5, it is necessary to look at the Greek. They are not future tenses. Modern theology or teaching likes to use the words in the future tense from tradition, but this is a total error. We have been taught so wrongly to use the words "except a man be born again" in the future tense that it is hard for many to think otherwise. But "be born" is indefinite with respect to time. Jesus taught exactly what is taught through the Old Testament, namely that God's race is born from an original sowing of God's seed. Born of water and of spirit, this is not only an interesting subject, but John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, is a key verse. Because of the "and," we see there are two requirements for perceiving or understanding or entering the kingdom of God. Water as well as spirit. What is believed here determines which gospel you will believe. We have the choice to believe that any man of any race can see the kingdom of God, or we can believe the limitations that Jesus presents. The word for water is hudor, H-U-D-O-R in the Greek, and it is used of water of all sorts. On its own, it means nothing but water. Some religious so-called experts argue that the expression refers to baptism, but this cannot be so because the thief on the cross or the stake went to paradise without being baptized. So we have to look further. A person is begotten of water as part of the natural process following biological conception. But Jesus added the words, "and of the Spirit." This makes it clear that the ability to comprehend the kingdom of God is included at the time of conception. In other words, at conception, you must be conceived of the natural body and the spirit. To determine what this is about, we must of necessity go back to the Old Testament to see who and what was generated or begotten of the spirit. We can anticipate that the Old Testament will agree with the New Testament. Who did God beget? Exodus 4:22. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Statements like this immediately exclude all the other races, and potentially those before Jacob. So there is no need to go further back in the Bible apart from noting that both Abraham and Sarah were from the Adamic seed. They could not have been from the pre-Adamic or other later seed lines. When God separated Abraham and Sarah, he regenerated their ability to conceive a child and commemorated the event by changing their names, adding the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet unto their names. Abram became Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah. This number is connected with the Spirit of God. The life in Sarah's womb was Spirit-endowed. Now consider these questions. If Israel was God's firstborn son, then who are their offspring? For Israel is to be the son, then who is Israel's father? Is it not God? Does not Israel originate from God if Israel is his son? Nowhere in the Bible can we find any suggestion of the humanist brotherhood of all men. God is expressed as being the father of Israel only. He is the father of all men of Israel, not all men of all races. Jesus taught his disciples, all Israelites only, to pray, saying, Our Father which art in heaven. This is better translated, Our Father, the one in heaven. Neither God nor man can be called a father until they have begotten offspring. There is no suggestion of a spiritual birth later in life. God states that he is a father in Exodus 4:22, therefore he begat offspring, and is the father of all descendants from Israel. The Apostle Peter declares that we, Israelites to whom he was writing, are begotten from above, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Well, how can he say the Word of God? Because in John chapter 1 it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the incorruptible seed came from God himself. It must be immediately pointed out that in this verse, the incorruptible seed of God, the Father, is spores rather than sperma. The meaning of this word, spores, is the sowing back in the past, or sown seed, and refers to the firstborn, Isaac, conceived in Sarah's womb. After God had regenerated Sarah's and Abraham's ability to conceive a child, it is now an appropriate place to look at Sarah and Abraham, who are shown to be the place or origin, being that originating rock or quarry and the pit. Abraham and Sarah, let's look at their origin, Isaiah 51:1-2. God says, Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. It is not necessary here to establish all the reasons as to why God had needed to make a new start with Abraham and Sarah. We have to accept that he did call Abraham alone. From this beginning, God made promises to Abraham that were to follow on to Abraham's seed, his Zerah. Only those born from this new beginning could comprehend the kingdom of God. This beginning was from God because God had regenerated Abraham and Sarah, enabling them to bear one child. In this way, Isaac was born because of God's action. From Adam to Abraham, Abraham's pure line contained the breath of life. So says Job. So where did the people come from who did not have the breath of life? These men and women originated from Genesis 1, or from some other source. Through misgenerative activity, Satan had introduced pollution to the bloodstream of the sons of Adam, and we find that God sought to eliminate the products of such activity. Noah was spared only because he was pure in his generations, Genesis 6:9. He was perfect in his generations, and so he had not mixed, and so he and his unmixed family were preserved. Later, the children of Israel were to destroy the mixed breed of the Canaanites. These could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They could not witness in their spirit and say, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16, as an Israelite is able to do. This principle is a continuing theme in the Bible. Through Abraham and Sarah, God established the basis for Abraham's seed to become the sons of God, John 1:12. God was making a new beginning with Abraham. None other than the seed of Abraham through the son of promise, Isaac, has his opportunity or potential. Abraham's seven other sons did not have this potential because they were born before Isaac. The descendants of Isaac were begotten of the Spirit from their conception. This is why those among Isaac's descendants who believe are regarded as being anointed by the Spirit. Galatians 3:16, Paul is able to declare, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. In 1 Corinthians 2:7-16, Paul, confirming this, tells the brethren, kinsmen of the same womb of Sarah, that they have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. He says that through this we might know or comprehend the things that are freely given to us, the brethren of God. He goes on to further declare that the natural man, those not born of Isaac's line, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He affirms Jesus' statement that anyone who is not begotten of the original sowing in the womb of Sarah cannot see the kingdom of God.